Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yeah, we're good to go.
It's a great Saturday morning. Welcome to The Accredited here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and did y'all know high schoolers have to run at 10:30 p.m.?
That's crazy. I'm Ricardo, and I just want to be a straight shooter like John Morant.
I'm John Mark, and Buddy's a shooter too.
Boy, is he. You know what? Before we even get any deeper into that, I gotta... Do we think Buddy was actually doing the gesture back at him? Or he was like questioning, wait, what are you doing?
Okay,
I think Buddy was actually playing.
Okay, you don't know. Buddy, of course, he's playing with it. But at first, I thought he was doing with Jimmy Ice. But then I saw...
No, it's Draco. Yeah, Draco.
And then it was just like, you know he did something to Ja. But... My whole take with that is, Buddy ain't never getting in trouble in the NBA for nothing.
No.
You probably knew if he had Ja do something stupid, because that might be a potential, like, real first round, second round matchup in the playoffs or something. And then when they did it, it was just like, hey. And then what was funny was Draymond's coming like,
That was the part.
Steph was just like, but you know Buddy did it.
Draymond's reaction, because he didn't see Buddy. So what ended up happening is when Ja did it, Draymond reacted to
like,
Ja.
Like, y'all don't see him doing that?
Yeah, and he didn't realize like Buddy was over there like egging him on.
You know, Buddy had to air Draco right out.
If Buddy just gone to the ice and gone up to Jimmy Butler, and he would have been straight. Which is just as bad.
It's just funny that this is the one place in America where they are really strict on gun control.
Yeah.
But everybody's doing gun celebrations. It's the craziest
but
thing.
But America.
But.
The gun should be on the flag.
Let's say Buddy learned his lesson and Ja didn't, because he got fined $75,000 the next day because he did a gun gesture in the Heat game.
Four lines up. Well, the conversation ain't really going yet, but if you want to join the conversation on
That's the pre-conversation.
Yeah, the pre-conversation. If you want to join the narrative today, you could jump in at 323-622-325-4316-325-4259 or toll-free at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also open. That's 422-GR96 422-4796.
What is the lead this week on The Accredited? Well, we have to officially begin where me and John ended the night last night, and that is at the B3A Splice and Connect Karifta Trials. Guys, we about to have a team.
Hold on, who's sponsoring Nova?
Splice and Connect.
What is that?
Splice and Connect is a telecommunications...
Oh, Splice, as in, yeah. Okay.
Like, splice a wire, yeah. And then you connect the wire.
I thought he was saying Spice and Connect. I was like, what?
I mean, that wouldn't have been a bad sponsor.
It's not a bad name.
Okay, I believe that now.
Think about it.
Splice and Connect. Congratulations, Splice and Connect. Thank you for sponsoring the Grifter Trials.
So, a lot of great performances last night. I mean, we came into this with a very high number of pre-qualifiers, but of course, like we said last week on air, the head-to-head matchups in these events, you had to do with the trials. What you did before, I don't want to say that it didn't matter, but it matters more what you do this weekend against the best of the best. This is the truest test of the best junior athletes we have in the country, in the sport. And on 32 qualifiers... And most of these people had already pre-qualified. We did have some new ones. But before we get to the ones that will actually be in Trinidad and Tobago on the Easter holiday weekend, we got to start with Carlos Brown Jr.
Yeah.
Carlos Brown Jr. runs a 10.04 in the men's Olympic development 100 meters and one of the fastest times of a Bahamian ever. So John was obviously there because he recorded the race, posted it. As I was walking into the stadium, they were coming down the track. And then I just hear 10.04. And I was like, what? This is literally as I'm walking through the gate onto the track.
It's like, did a Jamaican show?
Yeah, and I heard 10.04. And I was like, who did that?
Lynn
Weagle. What was the wind?
No. See, so that was the thing. The wind was blowing. But the thing was, it was like a crosswind. So it wasn't a backwind. And when he ran it, I'm not going to lie, I was just like, you know, you've seen races and you're just like, And then when you see the time, you say, oh, damn.
Because you saw well, that was fast.
Yeah.
Before you get the flash time, you just see how much faster it was than running a normal race.
Let's be real. We don't see 10-second runs that often.
Like, no,
you
we don't.
You don't see. We usually see, like, what Musgrove ran, a 10.25. You know, that's the type of thing you run. And, I mean, he, like, ran away from them. Like, that's how the race was. It was just, was there, and Carlos just ran away. And you're just like, and when you watch the video again, you just realize how technically sound he was in that race. He was striking the floor. He was just doing everything proper except the finish when he turned his head. He might have run a 10 flat.
This, oh God, and now I want to get to this because this is my favorite part of Bahamians, and this is my favorite part of the internet. The comment section of anywhere on the internet, I always say, the most toxic place in the world. So even
and at, fun.
It can be both. Both things can be true. So even at this point where he's probably celebrating his greatest professional achievement or even athletic achievement at any point in his life, right? You're celebrating this 10.04. I'm on the world stage now. I got the third fastest time of anyone. I know outdoor season just started, but still, he still gets to say that right now, this morning. And in the comments section, then you go and you see, well, if you didn't turn your head at Dan, it would have been a 10 flat. It would have been 9.
Wait, no. Okay. And this is before we got up here. I was telling now. I said, imagine if that was a 9.99.
Yeah.
No. If that was a 9, if you broke 10 seconds, that would have been, I mean, granted, it's still all over the place. But I mean, like, worldwide, all over the people would have been like, what, you know, they had that event, the Grand Slam track event in Jamaica just now.
Yep.
1-2. Like, that was the winner. I don't know who. Terrence Jones was
in that race. No, I think 10.07.
10.07. Yeah, 10.07. So 10.07. Anyway, Carlos beat them.
Yeah, Carlos beat them. Y'all slow.
Yeah. That day, Carlos beat all y'all. What y'all gonna do?
Fasting all
that. What y'all gonna do? Anyways, now these
Grand Slam. Don't let us become track people. Boy. We can talk all our stuff.
These Grand Slam
zero credibility.
Probably going to go to his Instagram account and say, hey, you come to Miami to run because you faster than everyone that
was there. That's true. Because think about the possibilities that this opens up now. Because if I want a stacked field, I got to go get that dude that just posted that 10.04 in the Bahamas.
Yeah. And then Carlos could go run with them and make money.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
We supporting our own, you know.
Yes, that was what it was all about. So that was the biggest highlight of the night, obviously. And if you've been around track and field, you've heard the name Carlos Brown Jr. for a while. You've seen him come up through the ranks, be the top junior at under 17, be the top at under 20, and now you see him making that next step. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out at this point in his pro career, because we haven't had this. The time we had this was what, Derek Atkins? I mean, somebody that's posting these kind of times at this level.
Wanye.
I mean, well, outside. Yeah, Wanye is still college. Wanye is still in this group with him.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like before.
Yeah. Because it's Wanye, Terrence, and then Derek Atkins.
Yeah. But all of them I consider pretty much in the same set because.
That's a good relay team.
But as you notice, let's go back to the comment section. National's going to be fun.
Yeah. And that's what you want to see. You want to see your top athletes, especially top collegiate athletes, being. Hey, we're all in this together, regardless of how you think of it. We want the competition. Let's be real. You want to be like a Jamaica when it comes to these sprints. You want everyone to be competing and competitive and knowing, hey, the four we send is world class.
The rising tide lifts all ships. That's why we compete against all the other sports shows that are on at Saturday at 11 a.m.
I think we're winning.
So how strong is the team?
We went against everybody at all time floats. What are you talking about? We ain't? Oh, okay. What'd you say, Gato?
No, I was just asking. How strong is the group today moving into Trinidad?
I like how he's asking us that as a track expert
question. Not experts.
No. Let me be a track expert. I play one on the radio.
Oh, God.
The team's not complete yet, but from what we've seen from night one.
A lot of qualifiers.
There's a lot of qualifiers. A lot of
outright. Shout out to. The 1500 meter.
So, oh yeah.
No, we got to give him a shout out. You got to give him a just do.
Ross Martin, there right? You go. Strong name. It is a strong name. So, in the last few years of us just covering this BAISS Nationals, doing that kind of thing, me and John always had the running inside joke. Ross Martin always comes close, and he's the one that's always within the 1500. He's always just racing against the clock, and so. the announcers would always be counting it down, and then he comes close to qualifying in the 1500, and he just never seems to get there. And we keep saying, at some point, this is going to happen. And it finally happened.
It happened.
He broke through. Oh. This is what trials is about.
And when they did the interview after, he said, it took me 2 years to do this.
Really did?
No, but think about the amount of, and this goes for everyone who runs, who wants to aspire to make a national team, who aspires to be a professional. It took him 2 years just to be able to say, I met the CARIFTA qualifying standard. Mind you, I don't know if this is true, but I guarantee it probably is. But I don't know, so don't take my word for it.
Wow, that is a crazy sequence of phrases you said just now. I don't know if this is true. I guarantee it is, but don't take my word for it. It's probably true.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I feel that this CARIFTA standard kept getting lower and lower as he kept going. So like last year, it maybe have been 2 seconds slower for the same age category. Yeah, yeah. And this year now it's 2 seconds faster, and he would have made that time before, but now he has to hit a new time. So it's like he was chasing the clock this whole time.
That's true. So the place that I wanted to take this conversation in, I like using the Carlos and Wanye, I don't really want to call it rivalry, but something for us to look forward to. I feel like track and
competition.
Healthy, heated competition. I feel like track and field is one of those sports where it's at its best because it's so mono and mono. It's so based on you just against that person in the other lane. We follow it more closely where there's some bit of, it doesn't even have to be negative, but we want a hint of that rivalry in there. We want like just a scotch of bad blood. It doesn't have to be too much, but we want just a little. So, like, we want to know that you don't have to love that person in the lane right next to you. We need tension perfectly.
In reality, what we're saying is we want to compete in the 100, the 200, the 400. We need
tension.
Yeah, but these are the things we won't compete in where it's competitive and it ain't a blowout.
And so here's the thing, and I feel like one of the races that people talked about heading into trials, and it's been talked about so much, was that under 20 men's 400, where you had the Zion Miller, Zion Shepherd going into it, going back and forth all season, and people wondered who was going to come on top.
When they were playing the Zion.
Oh, yes, yes. I wonder how long ago they planned that. But anyway, so this is one of those races where, there's not bad blood, but there's tension.
Right.
And all the tension comes from is, hey, I want to be the best. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what it should be. You shouldn't acquiesce to, I mean, we don't acquiesce to other shows and say that they're better than us. Like, we go with
no
them and
time
say,
yeah, for first loser.
We're better than everybody else. That's what you should do. So that was one of the races people look forward to, and it played out. It should have on the track. It was intense going in. It was the last, well, not the last race. You had the 400 decathlon after that. But that was the one that people waited around to see. I knew people who got there late just because they wanted to see that race. And I don't know the last time that we had something like that in Bahamian track and
field. Are we getting that 400 meters back? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You think we lost?
Yeah, what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. To the point where we had the Golden Knights.
Yeah, they had the Golden Knights, and we were always in the Olympic final, getting a bronze, you know, being top eight in the world in every single
relay. When you get Chris Brown doing it for 20 years, that's what it is.
That's the thing now. Is this generation now going to come back when, because Stevie's still young.
Yeah.
The tail end of Stevie's career, he's still going to be one of the best runners the Bahamas has ever seen. So now you have these young kids because, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but the U17 boys, too.
Oh, we're going to go to it. We're going to go to it right now. But I think the good thing about that is four runners, like, because they had Zion Shepherd run at the World Relays. So they're introducing the younger athletes. And then, of course, we know what happened. Shania Adley at the World Relays. They're introducing the younger ones to the international stage at the senior level at an earlier rate, and I think it bodes well for where everything is. Miller wins in 47.49, 46.79, and Zion Shepherd is second in 47.33. The CARIFTA standard in that was 47.65. So they were headed to Trinidad anyway, but that was the one that everyone wanted to see.
Now they officially headed there.
I mean, I feel like it is.
You gotta run the race.
Gotta run the race. Fine, fair enough. So to the under 17, another, and this is probably the one where you're saying this is why you think the 400's back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. We have a really good group of quarter milers top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So Egan Neely comes out and he just crushes it
in the under 17. So he runs a U20 qualifying
time. And the thing about it is he's been doing that, I think, ever since we saw him running in Bantam division at SAC. He always runs as fast as the division ahead of him.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. So at a very early time period, you could look and say, well, that's one of them ones.
But like, look at, if you look at his, you know, prelims, 49.13. Literally, what's impressive about Egan is he knows what he has to run to get to the next round, and then he could turn it on. Like, being that young and being able to know, all right, I just got to run something to get into the final. And then when you get to the final, you change gears. That is what you got to consider a special athlete.
He's running like a pro.
No, yeah.
It's kind of the way you want to think about it.
But four people ran the qualifying time. That means I expect a gold medal in the 4x4 in Trinidad.
I'm sure they're listening to this. So you heard it, guys. John Marknutt expects for us to get a gold medal in the U17 boys 4x400 meters in Trinidad and Tobago. No pressure or anything.
There's no pressure because everyone has the time. And shout out to Zion Bradford for another Zion making the team.
So many Zions. Like 15, 16 years ago, that had Lauryn Hill.
Well, wasn't she in the 90s? How old is a kid now?
You know how long ago the 90s was. It's 2025, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
no, but I'm saying that made an impact on his parents.
Yeah. Fair point.
When Lauryn Hill
dropped Zion, a lot of emancipation on Lauryn Hill's offer.
Everyone was like, huh, I'm about to have me a Zion. And now look, they like this generation's Jalen's.
Boy, playing Jalen.
That's crazy.
Jalen became a name. I went to Japan.
But there is a Jalen Williams who didn't qualify, but there you go, Jalen.
There's always a Jalen in the mix somewhere. Before we get rid of the qualifiers, and then you also got to talk about in the under 20 women, Alexis Roberts, who, when someone breaks Shawnee Miller-Weibo's record at BAISS, you have to look at, okay, anytime you break in a Shawnee record, this has to be someone special, right? We need to pay attention to this and keep our eye on this person. And the thing about it is, completely different body type from Shawnee. Not tall, not statuesque, but I mean, it goes without saying, boy, she fast.
Boy, she fast. So what's impressive is, I feel like her last 150.
Amazing finish. It's like 54.72.
Yeah, when you look at it, at one point, it was close enough. And then that last kick, it was just like, that's another thing where you say, this is a special athlete. Have they intervention? Because if they're not, they should be.
I know some baseball, but they should be. I know one who should be on. Beyond subvention, he was on the senior and junior national team. It was crazy. But
In the same year,
like a couple of weeks apart. Boy, it's crazy. His trainer and dad must be amazing. But also in the 400, and this was when, so remember, was it last year or the year before that? I think it was just last year. Anyway, when Kiezra Thomas was just blowing everyone away and should have been on the Karifta team, but they said, you know what, she's 13, she's too young. Even though she's running these qualifying times, she's not going to go. But at that moment, we were like, well, when it becomes time for her to get there, she's going to just dominate everything, and it's not going to be close. I think, remember, Stu Gotts had a take that when Giannis wins one championship, he's going to win 20. That was obviously wrong. But it may be...
It's not all the way wrong.
It's wrong.
Give it time.
Jokic.
Luka.
We can get to basketball. All right, basketball in the second half. And then I also won that call at a callback in who said LeBron God. James can walk around in China and nobody will know who he is because we went and found evidence. But anyway, so Kiezra Thomas just finishes 2 seconds ahead of the field in the under 17 girls 400. Also qualified in the under 17 girls high jump. And we've been talking using the phrase one of them ones and special athletes, but this is really one of the ones that I feel like you got to pay attention to. Still, and the thing about it is still finding her niche because she does these multiple events. And I think Shawnee was the same way. And the same way you have Jazae Johnson, who does the same thing, qualified in so many different events, still finding their niche. But when they get older and they do find it, another place on the wall. Another Walk of Fame? Not too early to call it, right?
No.
Not too early to call it.
I mean, I don't know why they don't have a high school Walk of Fame.
I feel like you would have been on that.
Yeah, I know. Especially if it was against playing Prince Will, I would have been on that.
You want to tell the people about the Prince Will game?
They know enough. We got to get Marlon on the show one day to talk about the game. Because Marlon will vouch for me.
Whoever was there when John played Princeville. Y'all played at Princeville. I remember you saying it was windy.
Okay, no. That was a junior boy game. And we scored 26 points. And I had like 22.
There's layers to the debate. Like, I need you to understand. This wasn't a one-shot thing. I just
like to get him started on this game.
And then, as you know, the year that Princeville won championship, they took that 1-0.
Who do you think is of the game that they played? Nikola Jokic the other night when he had the 60-point triple-double, or John against Prince Will?
John against Prince Will.
Easily, right? Because okay, hold on. Jordan, when he hit the game winner against Utah to win the series and at that point end his career, or John against Prince Will?
John against Prince Will. Yeah. It's never
going to change. We should have had video back then because y'all would have been like, yeah, it would have just been the Prince
Will. John is going to be 85 in somebody barbershop and some kid talking about he just hitting trees from the corner.
There's a chance that Prince Will not exist at this point when John is telling this story.
On my tombstone? In small writing, just put Prince World Killer.
Listen, please, I want you to really put that into your will, because if I'm fortunate enough to be around, I need to see it, because I need to say, you know what? He went out the way he really wanted to. Yeah,
facts.
The Prince Will game. Do you have actual numbers from that game? Or you
didn't? I know I had like 2 blocks against him. Me blocking someone is, you know, granted the other guy would have blocked them too because they got higher than me, but I just got to the ball first.
I'm sorry, I know we were talking about Karifta, but anytime we have an opportunity to talk about the Prince Will game, we just got to let him cook. All right, let's go to...
But just ask anyone of that year what the biggest disappointment was.
Losing to John.
Losing to St. Andrews. They won championship, but you know what they can't say? They gone undefeated.
I mean, he said it all. So let's go to the 100s before we head to the half quickly. In the 20, I think that was one of the more standout races, the under 20 men. You had Aiden Kelly winning in 10-4-3. Both him and Ishmael Roll reached beneath the standard. That was 10-5-5. And then in the under 17 girls, you had the entire podium reaching the standard of 12-08. But Breon Ward was the top there at 11-6-7. Anyone really stood out to you in the 100s, John, other than those two?
I mean, I think that under 17, that was such a competitive race. And that's something that we're going to see in Trinidad. Like, and that's what you want to see. And that's what you want these athletes to experience. Just being able to go against this competition. Because sometimes, like we say, it's just one-sided and someone wins and that's the end of that. And you're really racing just to race. With this one, you have to earn your way to be on this team.
And also before we exit out of the hundreds, Cameron Henfield, by the way, qualifies in the under 17 boys and then is also chasing the decathlon. So what a day for him to go and win at the under 17 level in the 100, but then also had to do, because I think they did 3, maybe 4 events. They did 4 events in decathlon. Too many. That day. So, they got to do 10.
Yeah, I understand. Is it octathlon?
Oh, octathlon. Okay.
Yeah, one of them. 10. It's just a lot.
Want to know, yeah. All right, so I want to go to the field quickly. Do we have to go to the field? Y'all sure? I don't feel like we have time to go to the field.
Yeah, you got a minute.
We can't do the field in a minute. We just did like 29 minutes on track.
Yeah, okay, we go to the field and we come out of the time.
Okay. I filibustered and I wasted the time, so now we're going to head to the half. When we come... Hold on, wait. I'll do an official radio tease. You ready?
Go ahead.
This is why they get paid the mediocre bucks.
You're a senator now?
They don't want them problems. When we come back, we talk about the standouts from the field at the Splice and Connect B3A's Karifta Trials. What does the hand motion mean?
Oh, just keep going.
You got a filibuster. You're not filibustering.
That was the filibuster.
No. That's why I was telling you, go to the field.
Oh, okay. So we're going to go to
somewhere back.
I feel like you should have just told me that. All right. So you know how we were talking about the 400 B. The 400 being the race that is the marquee thing where we're going to be back, right? The javelin, I feel like, has become...
The javelin
has become that thing for us in the field. Where the 400 was our... Well, still is. But I feel like the javelin has become that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got to credit Blue Chip Athletics. I know they're not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they have been the leaders in that field for a while. And the kind of javelin throwers we've been producing has made it one of the marquee events that people actually have to look forward to. And I think going to that, I go to the under 20 women where you have Tayshia Kamara Strawn all three qualifying. And that is always, and we've been seeing them compete for years at the younger levels. That's always, well, who's going to win kind of thing.
Yeah.
So both Stubbs and Scott will be headed to Nebraska, where Keyshawn Strong is now.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that connection there. You see how...
Who's the other thrower?
His sister.
Yeah.
His sister. Also in the field, and this one stood out to me, just it leapt off the pages when you looked at it. Bailey Major in the under 20 women's triple jump jumped a 12.58. And when you think about how far she exceeded the Karifta standard, which was 11.94. So you got to look at that as that's a medal contender.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can I do the outro now?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back from the half, we'll take it to the NBA because I know how much y'all like that kind of stuff. Talk more about Buddy doing hand gestures.
Smart Rewards is the ultimate way to sell your grocery purchases. With Smart Rewards, you will enjoy exclusive discounts and offers redeemable for all your favorite products. Whether you're shopping in Nassau, Freeport, or Exuma, our loyalty program is designed to give you the best value and earn you rewards every time you shop. Sign up for My Solomon Smart Rewards today and start saving and earning big.
Calling all Alive Fiber basketball fans. Get ready to experience the NBA Finals live. You can enter an all-expense-paid trip to not one, but two NBA Finals games. It's simple. Just sign up for our Alive NBA League Pass or Infinite Sports X Package by May 16th. Stay connected, enjoy blazing fast internet, and score your chance to witness the NBA action up close. Don't miss out. Visit AliveFiber.com and take your shot at NBA glory. Terms and conditions apply. It's good to be alive.
Sports fans, get ready for the Spice and Connect B3A's Karifta Trials this weekend, April 4th through 6th, at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The action starts at 5 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and 3 o'clock on Sunday. And mixed in there will be exciting field events for all 3 days. This is the final stretch. Who will make this year's Bahamas Karifta team, headed for Trinidad and Tobago on the Easter holiday weekend? Tickets are only $15 for adults, $7 for children. VIP section tickets, only $25. 3-day passes, $5 adults, $15 children, and $65 VIP. It's the Splice and Connect B3A Karifta Trials this weekend, April 4th through 6th, at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. You don't want to miss this one.
Pinda has a new line, the Sky Series of Porcelain. It comes in 4 colors, Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Pinda Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of the 4 in the Sky series.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Sports fans, get ready for the Spice and Connect B3A's Karifta Trials this week, 4th through 6th, at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The action starts at 5 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock on Saturday, and 3 o'clock on Sunday. And mixed in there will be exciting field events for all 3 days. This is the final stretch. Who will make this year's Bahamas Karifta team, headed for Trinidad and Tobago on the Easter holiday weekend? Tickets are only $15 for adults, $7 for children. VIP section tickets, only $25. 3-day passes available too. $35 adults, $15 children, and $65 VIP. It's the Splice and Connect B3A Karifta Trials this weekend, April 4th through 6th, at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. You don't want to miss this one.
Welcome back to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and the same way we started this segment is how we ended the last one.
Abracada, I really wanted to know what you mean, but
I'm Jean-Marc, and old people do run as well.
Okay. I just, listen, the only thing we can be is bad. We have to make that's the way we keep our audience. We can't just portray ourselves as being good at this.
I just was about to say, we're so consistent at being bad.
Yes.
Like, it's good now.
Yes. Yeah. And now you've discovered the secret sauce. Because if you go out there and you just try to be like, hey, we good at this. No. We good at being bad at this. And we're the best at being bad at this.
Almost like
it's like Wreck-It Ralph.
It actually is. I like the he's never seen Wreck-It Ralph. That's
just
the problem.
Just by the look on my face. I've never seen Wreck-It Ralph, but I will watch it tonight. I lie. I could be by Grifter Trials. Very late. But, okay, so we ended the segment talking about trials, so that is the best of the young track and field athletes we have in this country, but we've also got ones, I want to say seasoned, because John said old people run fast as well. I want to say
seasoned. I didn't
specify
anyone. I just say old people run fast.
Who are you talking about if you weren't talking about world record holder Tim Munnings, who is still getting it done at 58?
Call him out by name. That's crazy work.
I started running again.
You running through your neighborhood after ACL surgery is slightly different than Tim Munnings being the fastest ever.
Ever.
Ever indoor in the 400 meters at the 55 to 58 age group. So at the world, and I think he kind of introduced a lot of Bahamians to the fact that, hey, you could still be getting this done at the world, at the masters level. Last year when he went to Sweden, won the gold, and really kind of piqued people's interest, I can still compete in this at this level. And then he comes back indoor in Gainesville, Florida year. Does it again indoor. So do any of you guys think this is going to cause a surge in masters competitions for Bahamians? Will we have the weekend warriors actually shifting to I can compete at the highest level?
You would hope so.
I'll take it a step further. I don't think it'll just be Bahamians. I think it'll be people the world over, because what you have right now is this going to be in the news. People are going to talk about the fact that somebody's running in the 50, and then somebody in there is going to say, I fastened him. I'm pretty sure I fasted. I don't know, but I'm saying somebody out there, John O'Neill, just get an ACL surgery. He feel like at 58.
I could be faster. I could rebound the ball.
Oh, God.
But I couldn't run around the track.
I just feel how the humans is moved. Somebody out there could jump up and say, I fasted in that, boy. I can get around the track.
Okay, I feel you, and I get what you're saying.
This dude's an Olympian.
Here's the thing. He was winning Olympic medals like 25 years ago.
I agree with somebody or they can be like, I had a gym, but what you talking about?
You know what I always wonder when I see this? Because, like, and it's so funny that we were talking about the Golden Knights era. Well, shoot, he even predated them, right?
Yeah.
Did he just never stop training?
At all.
Like, seriously?
At all.
Is Tim Munnings LeBron?
So this is what I'm saying. Boy. Chris could eventually spin around once or twice and be like, all right, I get a shot. Like, when I hit 55, I could try.
I feel like
I could see Chris.
Yeah, but I feel like Chris would be the type of person to be like, you know what? Let me go back to my 800. Let me, 400, he had his glory days and his 400. He's like, let me just go see if I can mess around in this 800.
I think athletes come in two different ranges, right? You have the people that go like that, or the ones that's like Bolton, like, but I ain't doing none of that again.
I drank no whiskey, eating ice cream every day.
I did that at a very high level for a very long period of time. I ain't waking up early. I ain't going exercising. I ain't doing nothing.
But it shows the difference between guys who this is their life and guys who is like, nah, for this moment in time, 18 to 30, I'll dominate the sport and I'll go to extra mile. But then guys like Tim, this is who they are. So, like you said, he probably just never stopped training. This is something he did consistently. And one day he was like, yeah, let me try it on a world stage.
That's crazy if he was just still training like he was going to compete. Oh, that would have been amazing. So let's
go. You know what is crazy though? Mm-hmm. The age difference between other sports, for example, kart racing.
Bing. And that's why we get paid the mediocre bucks, because right when I was about to hit the segue, here goes John hitting the segue. So we go from a Masters World Champion to someone who's placing the Bahamas on the map at just 9 years old. And I'm going to just keep saying it because, I mean, I got a 50% chance of being right. Lennox Lockhart is going to be our version of Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton started kart racing at 6, but I feel like from the 6 to 9 year old range, Lennox Lockhart already outdoing Lewis Hamilton. Just going to go ahead and say it. He already has 25 wins, 14 podium finishes, but this past weekend was his first in the Micro Swift class at the Winter Nationals in Texas. So a big, and over the last few years, we've seen karting raise its profile in the Bahamas. So people have been more cognizant of, and I know the work that's been done behind the scenes, because I remember having to go cover so many of those events, of really exposing young Bahamians to the opportunities that can come from this, because it may not be as on this side of the world, and we're very Americanized, so people just think of NASCAR. But that world of Formula One, if you can get in there, I mentioned Lewis Hamilton earlier. Lewis Hamilton is a product of Grenadian immigrants raised in the UK.
Oh, but you're going heavy just now. But keep going.
Why?
I just didn't expect you to go that far down.
You didn't expect to research as a journalist?
Connections in there, you just got to be in the right place and do the same work that everyone else is doing. So the work that Lennox Lockhart and his family is doing right now, and the work that's been done with karting and being brought to the forefront in the Bahamas, we actually have a shot at this.
But I would say, so in other countries like Jamaica, off-road racing and that rally racing is big. Barbados is big. Remember, there's a Bayesian driver, Zane Maloney. Yeah, he's a F2 driver from Barbados. So it's hitting the region now. Like,
we've been driving fast and crazy for years
already. Doing it legally.
We could just introduce our SD car model to the track and we
probably... Ain't nobody beating us racing no marches. If they had a march racing series, ain't nobody beating us. No.
You know what's great about that? You could pull all the Caribbean countries together and just make a march series.
You know what? Great. I feel like if we paint them and decorate them, that may actually cause it to lose the luster. Race them just how they are right now.
I think
no license plate, broken headlights.
No, Bahamians.
You gotta have the SD.
A white license plate has to be on it.
You gotta have the SD.
You don't have the white SD plate.
I feel like the maroon one's the fastest. Think about it.
The burgundy.
Yeah, they the fastest.
The purple one pretty fast too.
Burgundy got it though. But I like that idea because based on the last time I was in the DR, the way I saw them people driving and the way we drive here, I don't know, it'd be tough.
Wait, Trinity driving ain't easy.
No, we can find
it. I did that once and I said, never again.
All right, so I wanted to shift from the karting to something that, I don't have a good segue for this, but torpedo bats have become one of the biggest wedge issues in sports. It's them or Ja Morant's gun fingers have become one of the biggest wedge issue in sports. And as somebody that has a genetic predisposition to dislike the Yankees, as Ricardo Wells does.
I don't have a genetic predisposition.
You do. You hate them.
All
you
I'm
them.
Saying is there's two teams in New York.
Listen to him, y'all.
Two teams exist. Why do we just focus on one?
Because one is the Yankees.
Yeah, but they haven't been the Yankees since
last year when they was in the World Series.
Did they win though?
They was there.
Did they win though?
You know what? This could get them right now, John. How many basketball teams in LA?
One.
Okay.
The Clippers don't even play in LA Parker no more. They don't.
I knew you was gonna.
What Corey was gonna say is they was renting all them years.
Yeah, they. Come on now. You've been in the NBA all these years and you don't get your own house. I'm proud of them now. They still years away from a title, but they growing up.
What Charles Barkley says, he's been fat, but the Clippers have always sucked.
That's facts.
And the Mets?
Yeah, but we never was like stuck up under the Yankees. Like, we going up, we do our, we ain't win 17 titles.
Because you couldn't be.
17? They got 26, eh?
Because you couldn't be. Anyway, so this year, the Yankees, of course, they're not debuting the torpedo bats. They are not the first to use it. They're not the only ones to use it.
Giancarlo Stanton used it last year.
Again, and this is where the only thing is,
they've been the most successful. It's not even just a Yankee bias. It's also Yankee hate.
Fair point.
Okay. It's both of them. It's the exposure of just the Yankee brand getting it done, which actually kind of proves the point of when y'all do it, it ain't the same.
I like that.
Yankees do it and the world is on its head.
Didn't y'all have, Lindor try to use it?
Yeah, he did.
Ain't no trying. He using it.
No, he used it a couple of games. Then he had his kid and then he played one game since coming back. He didn't use it last year.
So he was not doing that well.
For him, it wasn't. Because he was like 0-12 with it.
Oh, so it's almost as if you still have to do
all I'm saying things. is so, all, All I'm saying is he was tangentially connected to the bat. He didn't go through the whole screening process like some of these Yankees players last year. Like, they had the guy who invented the bat. He was a coach with the Yankees.
Yes.
He sat there. Lindor didn't do any of that. He just was like, send me a bat.
Look,
it's not worked out.
If we're going with that, then let's legalize steroids because it's the same concept.
You're talking my language.
You still have to hit the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball, run. Have hand-eye coordination.
Science is here to make us all better.
Yeah, but this is the beauty of the bat. It comes down to hand-eye coordination. The problem is the thicker part of the bat wasn't making contact with the ball.
So you're saying they had advances?
He figured out... I keep forgetting the coach that invented the bat.
I know. The guy that went to MIT.
Yes. He figured out that if you just move the barrel of the bat just down or up slightly, depending on the hitter, and they make more contact with the ball at that part of the bat... Chances are they're gonna.
I feel like Looney Tunes had this idea. I remember watching something where Bugs Bunny did this.
Here's where, like,
I'm very old.
I'll say this is why I feel like this baseball thing is foolishness. And I told Nal, but no, for real. And I told Nal about it. It's like a tennis racket. Tennis rackets come in different sizes, shapes, length, weights, forms. You add more weight to it, so it could be.
Once you're under the regulation,
once you're in the regulation, you can do what you want.
But see, that is what MLB is saying now. I think y'all keep forgetting that for a long time, this was a very racially protected sport.
And it's also the one that does the most cheating. Like,
because it was so racially protected.
But it's built into the game of baseball. It's actually applauded. You're supposed to try to push the barrier to as far as you can. And if you go across a little bit, that's kind of fine.
Shut up, Bill Belichick. He did it perfect his entire career.
He did not. He got caught every time. Career. We just don't care.
Let me tell you something. We don't care. If you had 7 Super Bowls, you care if you cheat?
No.
Exactly.
I tell people all the time, if 20 years from now, y'all tell me LeBron and Usain Bolt was doing some things.
I don't understand why he didn't cheat during the Giants games. That's the only question I have.
I mean, they were cheating too.
Maybe they were cheating too. So the Torpedo Bats.
It's a New York team.
The Yankees obviously came out, were setting records, and we got to talk specifically about Jazz because, and me and John were talking about this in the offseason. This is the 30-30 year.
30-30.
This is the 30-30
year. Maybe 40-30.
You know what? We were so concerned about the first 30, which is the home runs.
We don't see the stolen bases.
He might not get the 30 on that side. Because
if he don't go on first.
If you just walking him around. If you just touch an old four every time you swing.
Pause that. We got to be adults here.
Sorry. I apologize.
I was.
If you're just walking around all of the bases.
Thank you.
Then you never get the chance at the stolen bases. And this is one of those scientific advancements where they go, you know, when you steal more bases, you tend to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to keep you as healthy as possible, perhaps not do that so much. So maybe, and maybe a coaching thing from the Yankees where they're telling them to get less bags. But.
So for incentive 40-20 reasons. Is a new 30-30.
I like that campaign. 40-20 is the new 30-30. Let's take it and run with it.
I feel like Snoop Dogg been pushing that campaign his whole life.
I don't know. Good for Snoop Dogg.
40-20 is the new 30-30.
No, but it ain't 40, though. It's 420.
Yeah, no, it's
old. We go offline with that.
It's a couple of days from now.
It is.
15.
Oh, we could be...
It could be right after Carifta.
No, it could be. We could be there.
We could be in Carifta.
I thought Carifta was the 16th to 19th.
No, it's...
The 19th to the 21st.
That could be problem. What? Y'all in Trinidad.
Yeah. No. We next to Savannah.
Y'all in Trinidad. We have to be on TV.
Only once in a while, though.
Yeah, enough.
So Torpedo Bats, you don't feel this way when Jazz does it.
Correct.
No, I don't have a problem with Jazz has had a really tremendous start to the season. Absolutely. And I feel like he's fitting in. The lineup is almost like being structured
for his strength. Back at second base?
That's a huge part in it. And I think when you look at the way his hitting has improved, it doesn't just come down to the bat. Like Jazz has been positioning himself in the box and on the pitcher. He's done a fair enough job to develop over the last 6 months. Like, he looks like one of those players. I suffered a championship loss. I've learned from it. And now I'm bringing that
Jazz
into this
season.
Jazz
is, 5 years in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jazz probably has the best eye in baseball. And I don't know why they don't have the balls and strikes.
Oh, Luis Arraez.
Who?
Luis Arraez.
Who? Oh, good too.
Luis Arraez.
I say just
you feel that in your heart? Like, you really feel that way?
Yeah.
You know what I really feel? And...
Pew pew.
No, but I don't think it's not too early to say he's, and I don't even think this is a controversial take. It's pretty obvious. MVP? But he's the best Bahamian baseball player of all
time. Oh, okay, right, good. Right? Yeah, he's not MVP. He is the best.
Oh, man.
He's not MVP. Like,
no, I know that.
No. I thought he was going to say MVP, but I assume these things are going to start lighting up red pretty soon.
He is. No short way about it. Like, and this is the part that always shocked me, and this was the LeBron debate last week. You have to understand how much the game has improved. Pitchers are now consistently throwing fastballs better than ever
they
before.
They come out of the bullpen with three digits. They coming out of the bullpen throwing 100.
Can Jazz go to China and walk around like a normal human being?
Jazz don't go nowhere and walk around like a normal human.
And I don't even think he needs to win a title. I don't think he needs... Like, Jazz
needs to win a title.
No, he
needs
to
be the greatest Bahamian baseball.
I understand what you're saying, but he needs to win a title.
It could be tough with this Dodgers thing going on.
I understand what you're saying, but
I'm telling you that right now.
You see, y'all some haters. Jazz, if you're listening.
I'm sorry, Jazz.
These are the haters there. I wouldn't feel.
I want him to win a title, but Shohei Ohtani is just doing everything.
You want the Yankees to win?
I want Jazz to win a title, but the Dodgers are just too good. Like, we have a title shot this year, but we can't beat the Dodgers. I'm a Mets fan, I'm telling you right now. The Dodgers are just too good.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is the most clutch baseball player I've ever seen in my life.
He good.
Ever.
He good.
I don't even understand how talent like that developed in Japan. Respectfully, I don't get it.
Have you seen Eddie Ford?
He ain't Shohei. Like, respectfully, he's not Shohei Ohtani. I've never seen a baseball player. The guy is so good.
He just clutched too.
That he could be a pitcher, maybe a Cy Young caliber pitcher. And they was like, yeah, but if we let him pitch, he may not be as good on. Like, come on, we've never seen something like this.
You know, and this is how I know Shohei really is just be playing around with this stuff. Because last year when they decided that he wasn't going to pitch, he said, you know what? Let me try the stolen base thing.
For no reason.
Let me just see if I can get 50.
Bro, and he's 75 feet tall. Yeah. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, I could sprint too. What?
He just did it just because that was like the year.
Was it in Yams?
That was the year Will Chamberlain just decided, I'm going to. Just because.
Understand how his skill developed like this. And I know there was rumblings of him before he came to the majors and all. But I had no idea this dude was
the
this
transition good. Of that, usually, it takes those players time to get used to the American system, the American game. Because as you want to say, the Japanese game is a little different. Oh boy, you good.
But here's the thing, though, and I think, well, this goes back to what we were talking about last week when it came up with the basketball and the China thing. We often take a myopic view of these things, and we think what's happening around us is the biggest and best and the most important thing. Right. And we don't realize, like, we didn't realize, well, not us, but Caller didn't realize how big basketball culture is in China.
In Asia, Asia.
Asia in general, they have very lucrative professional leagues over there. So there's no way you can think that LeBron James isn't the same kind of star. It's the same thing in baseball. The second most lucrative, profitable, popular baseball league in the world is in Japan. After MLB, it's the Japanese Baseball League. They have legitimate legends over there. Ichiro was a legend already before he came to America.
But it's all about perspective. Because one of my favorite stories is, so Nicolas Massieu, two-time gold medalist, one of the best Chilean tennis players ever, came down here. We were just hanging out. He's like, man, let's have everything down here. And I'm like, no. And he's like, what are you talking about? He was number one in the world. And like, this is someone from outside the country. Like, he's number one in the world. He's like, if he was in Chile, he would have had the red carpet and everything pushed out for him. Grand Slam winner, this, that, whatever. And it's like, we just don't appreciate our own. And like I said, we're in a bubble where it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. No, I always tell people to start. For some strange reason, when I was a reporter, I get sent to China for a month. It was a strange situation.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do with China for a month?
We got a flag on that because I like the Chinese country. I respect everything that they're doing for the world. But anyway, I...
Don't say anything else.
I was over there and dudes was like...
so much of stuff over
dudes there. Was like building their entire day around the Golden State Warriors tip off.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, bro, You have legit random Chinese kids going to school every day, and all they thinking and talking about is being the next Steph Curry. It was the most confusing thing.
Which is incredible.
Because, like, they learning English from that. They learning, like, all kind of interactions from just basketball alone. It's a big deal. So when they call it
seven last shot to stop with the gun thing.
Where is the greatest concentration of Asians in America?
San Francisco.
On the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that was the point where the Warriors have been the greatest dynasty. Stephen Curry has become a force.
So when the caller said last week, like, Kobe can walk around China, I was like, bro, if you see what Steph Curry could do over there, you would shock yourself. He's a literal god to those little kids over there.
Stephon Marbury has statues.
Fair point.
Like, do we know how crazy Stephon Marbury, after his NBA career was done, went to China?
Not after.
It was done. It was done.
He had a couple of years.
He had to pay for a private plane. He had a second career in China. And now that man has statues. This is a man who ate Vaseline.
So now we know why.
Strawberry flavor.
They don't want John Moran doing the pew pew because they don't want the kids in China doing that and then they get in trouble.
Boy, they pew pew it anyway, right? I won't be the one to tell you, but
plenty of them guys in advance. That's all I can say.
We're gonna end it the same way we started it with John Moran, buddy, and the gun fingers. Is this blowing out of proportion, or is it just Ja specific?
Nah, I think it's Ja specific. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with them blowing it out of proportion, because at some point you have to question, why?
I'm going to be devil's advocate on
this. Go ahead. He's not NBA Youngboy. He's not a rap phenomenon. He is not from the hood. This is not Ja Morant. Let's just face that.
Okay. I also want to push back on, say, gun culture is not limited just to anything hood in America.
Nah, go
this ahead. Is the most gun-crazed country in the world.
And I'm in 1,000% agreement with you. But that does not... It has not moved to the point that it's culturally relevant. What I mean to say, you don't... It's like the wipe your nose thing that's going on in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is violence. Portraying when they do that is a certain subset culture of America. And that's only in the black community. So you have Ja Morant, a big basketball star.
That's the only
way he could celebrate is shooting guns like a rapper.
Because that's the only community that's being legislated in this way that do these same kind of things.
No, that's not
the only one. Yes, it is.
It's not. Tell me how many... You take the hip-hop music out of it. If you take the NBA Young... I love NBA Young Boys music. I'm not saying that it's trash music. But I'm saying if you take that narrative out of it... What are kids doing in school right now?
The same thing they're doing now. What are we talking about?
No, they're not walking around with the gun celebration.
So I didn't have that against Prince Will.
Oh, jeez.
See?
Hold on. So we're only going to...
And guns was around from then. You had Fitbit. Well, I don't remember.
I'm not just going to blame hip-hop music when the same thing is portrayed in movies.
I don't want to make it just about hip-hop music.
The same thing is portrayed in film. Correct. And it's not just this one demographic of rappers and what they look like are the only ones that are perpetrating something that is widespread throughout the entire country.
So what I'm trying to say is the elements of gun was prevalent in hip-hop music way before this situation.
Yeah.
But it's never bled onto the court the way it is right now.
Oh, my point with
You're going to bring up the Gilbert Arenas thing?
My point with that is, no, not even Gilbert Arenas. This as a celebration ain't even new.
Not like this is what I'm saying. This is a step too far because he's now soaking in this culture as if this is the only way I know how to play basketball. See, this, we should have started with this, but...
We did.
We would have taken the whole thing.
We did start with Anthony
Edwards, though.
All right, we got to go. Anthony Edwards is a wild boy. We'll talk about that next week.
Shut up, okay? Barack Obama. He tried.
That story ain't going nowhere. We'll see y'all next week.
That's hilarious.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.